Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, psychic, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio television talk show personality. She brings to the airwaves talented people from around the world who share their insights and experiences with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna.
Hello and welcome to the show. We're going to be talking about a level of science and medicine that is perhaps familiar to you, perhaps not. My guest today, Jennifer Gale, is a woman that has a tremendous interest in promoting wellness for people. And she studied various modalities, and she really has found something very unique that is centuries old, but unique in our world in many respects. It's called astroharmonic medicine. This is something that is bringing in a change in the medical area that I think is phenomenal. Is it something, again, brand new? Not really, but we're going to find out more about this fascinating aspect of medicine. Her publication is called The Science of Planetary Signatures in Medicine. What is it all about? Well, we'll give you a few tidbits. Hello, Jennifer Gale. I am delighted to have you as a guest today.
Well, thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here.
Jennifer, you are a woman that has really been most curious about different modalities with medicine. You have, with this particular publication, The Science of Planetary Signatures in Medicine, worked along with Mark Makozi, who is a physician himself, and he's an adjunct professor of physiology, biophysics, pharmacology. I don't know how you guys have the time to do all of this stuff. But, you know, here he is. He's teaching at the Georgetown University School of Medicine, adjunct professor in medicine at the University of Pennsylvania. You do astrology sound healing. You are a mentor with a master's degree in health sciences from St. Francis's University. Goodness gracious. How in the world did the two of you ever get together?
It is a really interesting story, and the way this book came about is completely synchronistic. I was a grad student in my first semester at St. Francis studying complementary and alternative medicine. And the textbook that we used was written by Mark S. Makozi, Dr. Makozi. And I was so impressed with his representation as a physician of the alternative therapies that have been around for, you know, since as long as there's history. It comes from indigenous cultures and their acknowledgement of our connection to nature, nature on this planet and nature writ large, the cosmos. Anyway, what got us together is I reached out to him to thank him for writing the book. I told him about the therapy that I do, acutonics. We did some collaborative writing, and I was actually fortunate enough to be asked to make contributions to his fifth edition textbook. And then I had this book idea, which I, you know, told him about, and he said, well, I have the perfect publisher in mind. So I wrote the proposal, he edited it, we submitted it, Inner Traditions, loved the idea, and that's how this whole book came about, The Science of Planetary Signatures in Medicine.
I find it extremely interesting that in today's world, rather than being opposing to each other, though there are those aspects within the Western medical environment that say, no, we're not going to combine different modalities, it's our way or the highway, that has shifted dramatically. I know here in the Pacific Northwest, we have educational facilities dealing with the training for individuals in alternative methods for healing. And this, the use of sound has been something that is incredibly good. I've known a number of very fine professionals that have done not just research on it, but are employing it. and promoting the wellness for people. And I think that this is so incredible. And it is so logical. It just makes tremendous sense. Everything is a vibrational frequency. So
absolutely.
When you are not in harmony, when your body is in disharmony, you become extraordinarily sensitive to things, and anything can rattle you. It's a phenomenon that is there. When you are in harmony, you can go with the flow, as the saying is.
Yeah.
There is,
exactly.
Mm-hmm. And I really appreciated in the foreword, which was put together, or let me rephrase that, was written by Ellen Franklin and Donna Carey, and they have the Acutonics Institute of Integrative Medicine in Llano, New Mexico. This is something that they said our cells reflect the images of the galaxies and the universe. Now, that is a thought when someone just puts that in their brain. They go, how can that be possible? Because they see the universe as being something so large. Now, these two women are not the only individuals that think along these lines.
Right.
How is this applied? And I know you go into detail in your book on this, but that right in and of itself is such a profound statement. Let's talk about that for a moment.
Yes, and Acutonics, I need to mention, is based on the fundamentals of Chinese medicine. And ancient Chinese medicine always recognized that the microcosm, the body, human anatomy, reflects the heavens, reflects the constellations and the greater cosmos, as above, so below. And in many other cultures, it was also called hermetic medicine, originating from Hermes Trismegistus, Hermes Thoth in Mesopotamia, or, you know, Greek Hermes and Egyptian Thoth, as above, so below. And even modern science shows us now how we are made from star stuff. We have the same inner space within us, that infinite potential within us that is, you know, that quantum science is recognizing in its studies and pursuits. But to get back to Acutonics, it is the use or application of sound based on the planetary tones and applying those planetary tones instead of needle insertion to the acupuncture points and meridian and energy system of the body. So it's really capitalizing on that connection that we do have, as above, so below, as within, so without.
With Acutonics, when you talk about the tones, with the human body, how is it that you determine those tones? How do you determine the harmonics of the body?
Yes. So this is something that, now this is just my, Jennifer Gale's, perception of this. I want to make clear to listeners that Acutonics practitioners are all over the states and all over the world, and they each have their own special and unique talents and their own indoctrination in whatever their experience has been and what, how their life has led them. So some are acupuncturists, some are chiropractors, some are massage therapists, you know, and the list goes on. I have been someone who has, I started out in music. As a teenager, I became enthralled with the language of astrology and understanding myself and my place in the world through the language of astrology. And later, then, I found myself working at an acupuncture school and loving acupuncture. So that's what brought me to Acutonics. So the way that I customize my application or treatment with clients is by using the astrology chart. And through the research that I did for this book, I had many ahas, one of which is looking at Pythagorean concepts differently. I mean, we all know about the Pythagorean theorem, and some may or may not know about Pythagorean music and how he used music to heal. But what I discovered that really solidified for me the medicinal use of, or the healing application of, astrology is that to Pythagoras and Pythagorean followers, number in and of itself is order. Number in space is geometry. Number in time is music. And number in space-time is astronomy. So if number in space, or if astronomy, let's say, is the language of the cosmos, then astrology is the language of the individual's connection to the cosmos, to the greater whole of which we all are part.
Mm-hmm.
So it makes sense to me to use astrology, which, by the way, is frozen music. When you look at a person's natal chart, which I call in the book the cosmic imprint or the celestial signature, it's all about mathematics and angles and harmonic relationships. So when you understand the allegory or the allegorical story of that individual's soul, their consciousness, what they're here to do, what are their gifts, what are their weaknesses or challenges, let's
mm-hmm.
say,
mm-hmm.
then you, what I like to do is not only look at the natal chart, but then the current cycles. There are progression cycles that represent the progressed sun and moon, and there are the transit, the current state of the sky, which is interacting with the natal signature and bringing things to life, you know, calling certain aspects of that individual's life forward. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. And astrology is, I think, both an art as well as a science. I think there's
oh, yeah.
tremendous value to it. When I look at the way medicine is shifting, the different modalities of mm-hmm. investigation that are showing that we can use massage, you know, acutonics, all of these various things, they're all applicable. I think it is very important that we look at things from a preventative positioning because
Absolutely.
We all have, as you said, we have our strengths and our weaknesses. And Western medicine typically doesn't do that. Western
Right.
medicine typically, the only time you want to go see the doctor is when you're sick, and then you deal with the symptoms, and we try to get to the root cause, but Western medicine is having to grow up into a different type of perception, and
mm-hmm.
that is, let's look at keeping people healthy, and let's be aware of
Right.
DNA and so on and so forth. With acutonics, when you are working with someone, how is it that someone could go in, let's say to talk to someone like you and say, you know, I'm really pretty healthy right now. Can you, number one, see if there's any areas of vulnerability? Number two, how can I keep things in order? I think if we just had that simple shift, wellness would be on the rise. It would just be phenomenal. We're always going to have sickness of one thing or another. That's just the way life is.
Sure.
Life never stays still. You see it in nature, and things come and they go. So what do
yes.
you see with this? How do you think that this can be of service to people?
Well, one of the things I want to, I guess, backtrack just a minute and discuss what you brought up earlier, and that's the dissonance and the disharmony. And, you know, the way that modern medicine approaches symptoms is to, you know, quash it, to silence it, or to get rid of the symptom in some manner. And that, I mean, in that, in many ways, is how we as human beings have been conditioned, too. If something shows up that threatens our well-being, we want to get rid of it. And if we're in a state of imbalance or disharmony over a long, long, long period of time, then yes, we may need something more disease-oriented, or, you know, managing those symptoms and, you know, managing the disease. However, as you pointed out, with preventative care, dissonance plays a very important role. And even challenges in life, they play an important role. And so rather than ignoring them and sweeping them under the rug or trying to get rid of them, which ultimately causes much more stress on every part of our well-being, physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual, what we need to do is look at them as invaluable messengers that are simply providing information about an imbalance that's occurring. So if someone shows up and just wants to, they're already healthy and they want to stay healthy, then yes, I mean, that's the more a client experiences these tones, and through my work, you know, using their actual cosmic natal signature, they're becoming more and more attuned to who they are as a multidimensional being. What's wrong, if I may say that, with modern medicine when it's practiced, you know, in its extreme, is looking only at the physical. We are multidimensional, as I said, and with the birth of Western medicine, which came about at the time of Hippocrates, that's when medicine became divorced of its energetic components, the unseen, constant changing and morphing that is going on between these four elements, fire, earth, air, water, which in the cosmos is fire, solids, liquids, gas. Anyway, I may have given you much more than you wanted, but it's important to understand that things are constantly changing, and it's stagnation that causes illness and long periods of stress and disease.
You go into this book, The Science of Planetary Signatures in Medicine, you go into a great deal of detail that is relative to the past and how we literally stand on the shoulders that have gone before us. But so much of ancient medicine was lost. You talk about how the library in Alexandria had ancient, ancient documents that disappeared. They were burned. So all of these things we are rediscovering. And yet we're finding that in the myths and legends of many different peoples around the world, there's so much information that we are finally able to pay attention to, and we are carrying it forward. So you have a wonderful variety of information about the people who have been acknowledged as some of, if you will, the greats in healing the ailments and ills of people throughout the centuries. And here we are in this environment today, where the rediscoveries of Avicenna's medicine, of so many different people, you know, Plato's information and Pythagoras, and an individual I was not familiar with is Nicholas Culpepper, you know, and all of these other individuals, and we recognize their names, but it seems like we are starting to wake up to the realities that we're to take what they knew and we're to even go further with it. And that's because of our technologies. Would you agree with that, or would you have something else that you'd want to add to it?
No, I absolutely agree with you, and it does feel like we are in a type of renaissance, without a doubt. I mean, okay, I'm going to remember the quote, but probably not the person who said it, Heraclitus maybe, that there is nothing new under the sun. Forgive me if I'm wrong about the name, but so we are cycling back to an era. And this, you know, I address too is cosmic cycles. So we are on the cusp of the age of Aquarius, where science and spirituality are being, we're recognizing the thread of connection between the two. So we are at the end, we're coming to the end of the age of Pisces, where, you know, we've looked at, you know, we place a lot of our power in outside entities. Religion is one of them. And now it's incumbent upon individuals to understand that they themselves are sacred, that all life is sacred. And that's really what the Age of Aquarius is about. It's understanding, but it's recognizing the sacredness in the plant kingdom, the animal kingdom, and certainly the human mm-hmm. species, but the understanding that the entire planet is alive, and that the cosmos itself is. And so we are part of this infinite wisdom that creates infinite worlds and that expresses itself in infinite ways. So rather than needing or requiring a mediator to instruct us, we have access to this information. And the ancients, you know, this, it does go back to what I brought up earlier, Hermetic medicine, as above, so below, as within, so without. But through inner instruction, and a great example of that is Hildegard von Bingen, a 12th century nun who was not learned in books. She was not a book scholar, but she was an artist, a musician, a prolific herbalist. She's created an anthology just by learning, just by being in nature mm-hmm. and following her intuitive guidance, she gleaned all of this information. And I believe that that is where we're headed.
You mention a very interesting machine that has been developed called a tonoscope. And this has all to do with vibrational frequencies. And you have a fascinating chapter on this. And anyone that has gone through any level of science, we are aware, and I'm not as sophisticated as you are, vibration mm-hmm. affects people. Vibration can be destructive. It can be, mm-hmm. you know, very helpful. And if you don't believe that, then just go to a rock concert where the music is just so absolutely in discord, and you'll think you need to have your brain aired by the time you finish being in that environment. And it will totally unsettle you in many, many ways. Now, people that love rock mm-hmm. and roll or things that love that nature, you're going to say, Donna, that's not true. But
yes. Are you there? Did I lose you?
No, I'm just coughing. Just a minute.
Oh, sorry.
Sorry, something went down the wrong pipe. Oh, my goodness. But anyway, with the tones, mm-hmm. with the tones, that is something that when someone is wanting to come into harmony, music, sound, can produce that harmony so that there is a soothing thing. That's what we do with babies. We that with many times with the elderly. We are starting to use music when people are getting to pass over to help that ease. And all of this is so significant. And I don't know of anybody that hasn't been in an environment that said, if I hear one more bit of noise, I'm going to scream.
Well, I do think that it comes down to resonance, like you pointed out. And there are those who resonate with Metallica and hard rock. And, you know, for them, it brings a source of comfort. Mm-hmm. Comfort. But for, you know, others, it feels like it's you're being bombarded by sound, and it's more, you know, cacophony than it is soothing, healing music. So, but I will say that this is why, again, it comes down to the individual, mm-hmm. and one of the main points I was addressing in the book is how important it is to know yourself, to understand your own vibration as represented by, you know, the cosmic tones. That's the language I use. Others, and by the way, the Tonoscope was developed by Hans Jenny, and who did amazing work with cymatics for those listeners out there who may not be aware of Hans Jenny's work. Cyma, C-Y-M-A, it means wave. And so he did all of this work on the study of wave patterns and the study of how sound immediately impacts what it touches. And so, yes, there it will disperse. It will also create a perfect symmetrical geometric design and based upon the tones. And I believe that ultimately, even when sound is causing a disbursement or chaos, ultimately its goal is to restore unity and harmony. And this, again, goes to my point that dissonance serves a purpose. Sometimes we need to use sound to break up scar tissue or a tumor or things of that nature, and other times we need to unify, we need to pull together in symmetry and harmony, you know, the inner workings of the body and human anatomy.
I know.
And we do. We see this all the time in nature.
Yes, we do. And I do know that the Israeli medical community has produced something that works with sound to do non-invasive surgeries on women, especially with tumors. And it dissolves them, and it's removed from the body, cancerous tumors.
Wow.
So when you have this kind of technology that is evolving, and that's the wonder of it, we have so many wonderful minds that are saying, let's pick up on something that really is ancient. It's very, very old, and we can apply it. This is something that I think your book, The Science of Planetary Signatures in Medicine, brings a perspective that many people may find amazing, but if
I sure hope so.
Yes. Well, it is something that we need to be aware that there is that harmonic that can be utilized and can be very effective in our lives, and that it really does make a difference. And they have found it in prison systems. They have found it in so many different expressions, but you don't hear too much about it. And I think because it really is simple, but just imagine if we were in a situation where when you would go in to see a physician, there would be a harmonic evaluation that would be done on you physiologically before the doctor even went to have a conversation with you. And they'd say, well, your health is this, that, or the other, and I know you're probably here to tell me about something that's in disorder, but let's take a look at what we see. And the use of color along with sound. My goodness, what an amazing shift that would be, wouldn't it?
It would be a lovely shift. But you know what, Donna? At this point, I would just be thrilled if our medical system allowed time for doctors to inquire. And I'm not, you know, there are many, many good people in the medical system who feel trapped in a system that does not allow time to get to know the patient. And so, like I said, they're just doing a physical assessment and not looking into their emotional support system. How connected do they feel in their environment, to their environment? I mean, we've just been in a state of fragmentation for so very long that this is why we see new diseases, so much more, you know, so many more, autoimmune diseases, autism, you name it, you know. And I really feel that it's because we have spent so much time in systems and relying on systems that have fragmented us as human beings, and it's time to remember who we truly are and that we are multidimensional.
Yes, and we have that magic of the cosmos within us to enable us to enjoy wellness. Jennifer Gale, it has been a delight having you as a guest today. Your book, The Science of Planetary Signatures and Medicine, holds a lot of fascinating information. And people can find out more about you, your writings, by going to SoundWorks by Gale.com. Now, Gale is spelled G-E-H-L. That's right. SoundWorksByGale.com. I want to thank you again, Jennifer Gale, for being my guest today.
Thank you.
It has been a delight having you. Check out SoundWorksByGale, G-E-H-L.com. Donna Sebo here. The telephone line will be open shortly, 253-582-5597.
You're listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you'd like to have an opportunity to be featured on this program, or Warriors for Peace heard Wednesdays at 11 a.m. Pacific Time, please send a copy of your publication along with your contact information to The Donna Sebo Show, Post Office Box 97272, Lakewood, Washington, 98497. Please allow 6 to 8 weeks for review of the publication. Again, the mailing address is Post Office Box 97272, Lakewood, Washington, 98497.
Donna Sebo here, 253-582-5597 is the telephone number to call into if you'd like for me to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. Well, this past weekend was just a go, go, go weekend, and I want to say thank you to those people that were so significant in putting the event together at the Women's Show. And we're going to be talking with Astara shortly, and she's going to be calling in, and we're going to be discussing the Emerald Spiral, which is an absolutely amazing event. I've had the pleasure of working with some phenomenal people, and it is just a delight to be able to participate in these different events. And the Emerald Spiral is coming up, and I'll tell you what, it is such a... Well, it's a long-standing event, number one. But number two, it is an event that allows people to come in and to explore different modalities relating to the psychic area, the health area. There is so much that goes on at this event, and I believe I have Astara with me. Do I?
You sure do.
Hi, Astara. Oh, my goodness. I am so looking forward to this event coming up this Saturday, which, gee, it's been going on for a number of years. And there's one of the joys of attending this event, and for those of you that are listening in the state of Washington, you need to know that this is held at Kent Commons in Kent, Washington, and we'll be giving you more details about this and the time, etc., in just a few minutes. But Astara, this really has been going on for a long time, and you yourself have been engaged in this now for a couple of years. What is the greatest satisfaction of putting on this event, the Emerald Spiral event in Kent, Washington?
The greatest satisfaction is when people come and are introduced to new things and their excitement and transformation is apparent, and you feel like you've contributed to a change in someone's life.
When these events always fascinate me, I invariably, with everyone I've ever gone to, I'm just amazed at the diversity of people. And you have, how many vendors at this particular event do you have?
Right now we have about, we have 93 vendors.
And they're from all different modalities, aren't they?
All different, from crystals to jewelry. We've got artists, we've got reflexology, past life, palmistry, a little bit of everything.
Talk a little bit about what it takes to put an event like this together, because I know it's a lot of work. And this event has been going on for how many years now? What, 30-some odd years?
It's been going on a little over 8 years.
Mm-hmm. And I think before it was titled The Emerald Spiral, it was the Boeing Parapsychology Fair.
Yes. Yes, so that
goes way back. So it has years and years. And here we have something that has just maintained a life of its own. And mm-hmm. this is very significant because you bring in education along with the vendors.
Yes, and we have workshops and lectures in separate rooms from the vendor room this year.
Oh, that's interesting. So then people will not be in the vendor's area. They're going to have to go into a different room to listen to the speakers.
So the vendors get some privacy and can hear, you know, what's going on, as well as the people that come to the workshop.
Well, that's an interesting change that you have made. Let me ask you something. When you have your speakers, and how many speakers do you have this month?
We have five speakers for the lecture, the free lectures, and we have five workshops.
Now, what's going on with the workshops? What's happening there? How long do they last? And is there
a
fee?
We have a keynote speaker that starts at 11 o'clock. She's Nancy Byrne, author of Choices, and she's going to be doing the Inner Journey to You keynote speech. And then at 1 o'clock, she will do a Inner Journey to You workshop, where she gives you more hands-on guidance about, you know, how to get more in touch with your own intuition. And then at noon, we have an introduction with Rochelle Evans, who has been certified with the Louise Hay training. She will do an introduction, and she'll do a Use the Law of Attraction in 2017 workshop at 2 o'clock.
And who are the other speakers that you've got?
We've got Nancy Seals, who's doing eyeology, tell you a little bit about iridology and the eyes and how it can determine health and let you see what the changes you make, what they do actually do to your eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And then Darcy Pariso is doing animals, our teachers in mirrors. And John Thompson, using quantum energy to stay young and healthy. He's amazing. And Leslie Fontaine, creating outrageous abundance. And Dr. Michael Gross will be applying the new spiritual laws to your life.
Wow, you've got quite an eclectic array of speakers there. Now, the workshops, is there going to be a fee with those workshops?
Yes, two of the workshops have a fee. That's the Nancy Byrne workshop at 1 o'clock, and it's a $25 investment. And it's 1 o'clock to 1:45, and then at 2 o'clock to 4 o'clock, using the Law of Attraction in 2017 is a $20 mm-hmm. investment.
All right. So the workshops are of different lengths. So if someone comes out to the event, what time is it opening up? Is it 9 a.m. in the morning?
The event opens at 9 a.m., and the workshops actually don't start until 11 o'clock. So people have plenty of time to walk around and mingle and see what's there before going into, and actually meet the authors, because they all have tables, so you can talk to them
mm-hmm.
beforehand. And then the last workshop's at 4 o'clock, and the last lecture is at 4 o'clock, ends at 4 o'clock. So
and
okay. I'll be out of there in time to, you know, revisit some of the vendors.
Now, you have had, Astara, so much background in working with seminars and programs and pulling people together and literally creating an environment where the magic of communication and education is going to be available to people. And that is something that I think is very important with this event. One of the comments that I've had from people, more than one individual that I was meeting with over this past weekend when I was doing public appearances, people often say, I just don't have anyone that I can talk to. I'm having certain experiences. And the Emerald Spiral provides this opportunity, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. There's many coaches that are there and available. And the nice thing is you get to meet them and talk to them and see if there's a connection before you actually, you know, have to make an appointment or go to one of their classes, because a lot of them do classes in the area. So, you know, there's plenty of opportunity to get to know how someone will fit with what your needs are.
I think that being able to communicate with people, having that openness and freedom, it enables people to have the opportunity of choosing what they want to explore. And that is what this event, in my view, offers people in the way of value. And it's free. People walk in. There's no fee at the door, right?
Right. Right. No fee at the door. Mm-hmm.
And so they can come in and they can just peruse and cruise at their leisure in whatever way they want to, and to be able to talk one-on-one with the diversity of skill sets that people have and the products and services that they offer. To me, that is something that is exceptionally important, and that allows them to really see how, when something pushes their button, they're going to say, I've got a safe place to go to. And this is one of the gifts, correct?
Correct. Very much so. And, you know, I get, after the event, I get phone calls from people like, you know, I talked to this vendor that did this, or I talked to this person did that, and I can't find the card, you know. And so we get them connected, because sometimes you don't realize, you know, what you need until after it's over, and you want to be able to connect with them. And most of my vendors are repeat vendors. They're here almost every event that I do. So they have an opportunity to catch up with them when they're ready.
I know that you have your website, emeraldspiral.com, and there's all the information about the speakers that's there. You have all kinds of information listed. Now, this is actually put on twice a year. It's put on at the end of March and also the end of September.
Yes.
When you're getting prepared for this event, because 93 vendors doesn't sound like a lot, this is not a huge event, but it's very family-oriented, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It is very family-oriented, and you can bring your kids. Yeah, it's very, very fun. And we'll have a food stand, so if you come and you're hungry, Nibble Seattle will be out front. You can grab a bite to leave. You don't have a bite to eat, so you don't have to leave if you don't want.
Now, with that, are there going to be beverages available inside, or is it all going to be outside with Nibble Seattle?
Most of it's Nibble Seattle, but there's vending machines in the Kent Commons, so there won't be any food or drink inside. We do have Freedom Snacks gourmet popcorn on the inside, and I don't know if they're going to have beverages, but they may. I'll have to double check on that. Mm-hmm. But there's, you know, pop machine and water machine, and then coffee.
The reason I brought that up is it's so often when people come with their families, they get very thirsty, or they say, oh, gee, I want something to eat. So we've already covered that, and that there's going to be a little bit of something going on inside the Kent Commons facility, which is in Kent, Washington. So again, I'd very much like to repeat the hours. The hours are from 9 to 5, and please correct me if I'm not correct.
That's correct.
All right, and there's ample parking. This is what's wonderful. There is a huge parking complex. It's right there at the Commons, and people can go in to emeraldspiral.com, get all of the information that they want and they need. When you close down the event and you're getting ready to plan the other one, because this event has been going on for so long, what are the particular things that, that you find inform you about what the public is interested in? Do you get enough feedback from people where you say, gee, I should look at this or look at that or look at the other, when you are a program organizer, coordinator for this event that's held twice a year?
I would like to get more feedback. I do have a little feedback sign-up sheet for people, but I don't get enough feedback, but the feedback I do has been all positive, and there seems to be quite an energy on Facebook right now with people going, oh, I've got to go there, and this is really great. So, yeah, people have been there and would like to send me an email and tell me what you think and what you'd like to see change. That would be really helpful.
Well, that's very good. All right, let's repeat. This is an event held at Kent Commons in Kent, Washington. For the exact address, go to emeraldspiral.com. The hours are from 9 until 5. I am going to be there. I have a booth there. And you're going to get a listing of the speakers. You're going to get a listing of the workshops when you check out their website. And come along. I've been participating in this event for so many years, and it's always a joy to bring a star on so that we can discuss what's happening at this event. And more than anything else, realize this is interconnected for you. Astara, thank you so much for being with me today.
Thank you.
It's been a joy. Well,
see
you Saturday.
Alrighty.
Warriors for Peace is a weekly broadcast hosted by Donna Sebo. Leaders from all walks of life and professions from around the world, including those who have served to protect one of our most priceless gifts of life, freedom, speak to the issues of the day. Join us Wednesdays, 11 a.m. to noon Pacific time.
Donna Sebo here, Warriors for Peace. We are going to be talking about a phenomenal woman. Her name is Lady Lucy Houston. And this is a woman that was in the upper levels of society. We are going to be talking with a gentleman who has done research on this woman that very rarely is acknowledged publicly. Well, we are going to be recognizing her on Warriors for Peace, because this woman was one of the powerful financial backers of the Spitfire that enabled the people of Britain to overcome Hitler. So this is something as a story that I think is a real eye-opener, and I know that it is going to be a fascinating conversation, so I invite you to join me. Donna Sebo here. Give me a call if you would like to chat. 253-582-5597. I'll light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. Well, I've got so many different things that I wanted to share with you today, but I came across material involving very sophisticated technology, and it has to do with a drone boat. And I've got an image of it in front of me, and it really looks like a shortened version, a little bit wide at the hips, if you will, of a surfboard. And yet, there are so many of these instruments that are being developed and are being utilized so that we can be aware of the changes in nature and in so many other different modalities that we're just beginning to explore. And there's a gentleman by the name of Lawrence Smith. He's an Arctic scientist, and they really are always interested in checking the meltwater that comes from glaciers. And as we all know, many of these glaciers are retreating. They are melting in parts of the globe. Some of them are expanding. So we are very curious creatures, we human beings, and we like to find out what is going on. Well, Greenland is experiencing a lot of melting snow. Now stop and think about the volcanic activity that they have had in the area. Not a big surprise that much of their snow is melting. The earth is heating up from underneath. Well, they gauge the meltwater runoff by using regional climate models of what you would call a drift boat or a drone, and they really want to see when and how it is refreezing. So much of it now is not refreezing. However, they are finding some interesting things out in this research. Recently, they discovered that the supraglacial rivers flowing over ice sheets could swell oceans even more than massive icebergs or, in this situation, drainage from Greenland's glacial lakes. So how are they getting these findings? Well, there's a NASA-funded team led by Lawrence Smith, and he is the chair of the geography department at UCLA. In 2012, they spent 6 days on ice because there was apparently a huge ice sheet melt. So they went out, and these were very, very dangerous conditions, to gather data in an environment that it doesn't really provide very nice situations for human beings. There is so much that's going on, and these drones, these devices, are absolutely amazing in what data they are able to collect. Now, the equipment they use is extraordinarily expensive. It's the latest of the most sophisticated computer technology they possibly can utilize. And they had an experience at a particular lake. It's called Lake Napoli. And they had their drone, it's remote controlled. And do you know what? It was deployed, but the lake they found was so much bigger than they even realized. It disappeared. Mm-hmm. This drone costing a huge amount of money. Parts alone, just the parts, are so sophisticated, they cost more than $50,000. That wouldn't take long to add up whatever many parts you've got, and you're looking at millions of dollars invested in this drone. And they said, oh my goodness, what are we going to do? We can't find it. But Alberto Bahar, who is part of the team, and he was involved in the design of this particular drone that they were using to measure all of these different climatic effects, and all of this information is invaluable. They only have one of these to work with. They had to get in a helicopter so they could find it. This lake is so huge. And they were able to find it because they got within radio range of the drone, and he managed, because he's operating a joystick connection from the helicopter that's above the drone, they managed to get it back to shore. They saved it. Who would have ever imagined that this type of technology, think of it, they had to use a helicopter. They were unaware of the vastness of the lake. They managed to get this drone back because of being able to fly up to connect with it because of its technology. It's just amazing, amazing stuff that we, it's almost, you know, it's like seeing Star Trek in action in today's world that may have been portrayed in imagination by some writer. And we're living it. We are actually living it. Also, I wanted to bring up something about blood thinners. I don't know about you, but there's so many members of family that we have that have heart conditions, that have blood clot situations, and blood thinners are very, very important. And I believe I have made comments about this before, but I think it's worth mentioning again. Blood thinners have served a very useful purpose, and we're discovering more and more about natural blood thinners that can actually do just as good a job as what we call the chemical pharmaceutical developments. But regardless, they do serve a very important person. And when you can use anticoagulants, sometimes it can accelerate potentially fatal blood loss. So there is something that was developed from Harvard's Weiss Institute. And this had a relationship with catheters. There's a special coating that they came up with on catheters that repels the components of blood that would otherwise form clots on devices that are put in the body and cut off blood flow. And they found that it's a chemical. It is synthetic. It's very similar to Teflon. It's called perfluorocarbon. And what it does, the slippery surface that otherwise would not have been slippery, it prevents the sticky parts of your blood, your fibrin and platelets, from adhering to it, creating a major problem. And they've done a lot of the testing with animals, and they find that it works extraordinarily well. And how they tested to see if this surface material would really, really work inside the human body, they used a gecko. Now, can you imagine using a little tiny lizard? If you've ever been in Hawaii, you see lots and lots of geckos. They're a part of the environment. They're just adorable. And they are just so very, very special. And they do a lot of good in the Hawaiian natural environment, keeping bugs at bay. So people welcome them into their homes. Well, who would have ever imagined that that lowly little lizard that we really wouldn't give too much attention to was going to have such a significant part to play in proving how valuable this material was? Now, geckos, they can climb anything. They have what they call little weak chemical bonds that are on their feet. So they tried to get them to climb the poles, and geckos will automatically climb. They like climbing anything. They couldn't climb these. This material was so slick. It was amazing. In fact, the scientists looking at the geckos, watching them, they said they actually saw expressions change on the geckos' faces. They couldn't understand why they couldn't go up those little tiny poles they were asked to climb. So it is an FDA-approved blood substitute and can be used on any procedure, in any procedure, involving extracorporeal devices such as dialysis machines. And also these coatings, this perfluorocarbon coating, can be sterilized for medical use. So this is something that is going to be implemented in so many different devices, in so many different applications. We are a very inventive species, we human beings, and we need to remember that this is something that is incredibly important for us, because understanding, just like my guest today, the use of sound in medicine. The Israelis have already developed a kind of sound surgery. Now, is it going to be used in everything? No. There's so many different applications that we need to understand that we can utilize to make health and wellness not only a better reality in our world, but the integration of the different modalities of ancient knowledge along with advanced technological research. It all comes into play. And it's so important that we don't make it one absolute, that we understand that there are the different modalities that we can work with. It's an exciting time, and it's going to get even more exciting, especially as those that have the positioning of being able to make major, decisive choices are going to empower those who want to be in the service of medicine and want to be able to provide the best opportunity for health and well-being for people will have more tools available to them. It's really going to be a challenge for upcoming generations to know that there is so much out there. How do you make sense of it all? How do you know what modality is going to serve best? Ah, that has always been the challenge and will continue to be the challenge. Life is an adventure. Donna Sebo here. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You're the captain of your soul. God bless, be well, and get excited about life. It's meant to be lived. Yes, with purpose, passion, and energy. God bless, be well. Join me again. I look forward to having your company. Bye for now.
You've been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. We're delighted that you were able to join us and invite you to tell your friends and family about the program. Have a wonderful day.